afternoon and welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Got to be honest with you people, I got nothing today. Nothing. I need some help. Anybody, if you got something you want to, I'm serious, I got stuff. I got stuff. But if there's something going on that you want to talk about, I'm here live today. Just came off the water, Lake Hartwell, so I can give you an up-to-the-minute fishing report, complete with what you need to throw. I'm going to do that anyway. But if you got something you want to talk about, I'm on 94.5 The Answer, and you can reach me at 877-235-9405, 877-235-9405, and you can text that same number, and I can read your text off if you're too scared to call. So, anyway, wide open today. Really didn't even plan on it, and I tried to record something this week and just didn't have time to get to it. It's just been a brutal month. The last 4 weeks, of course, a lot of it's self-imposed. I will have to take responsibility for the part that I do to myself, but, yeah, it's been a brutal one. Poor Neil Paul, down at Visit Anderson, I talked to him, and he's got seven of the last 10 mornings, he's been up at 4:30 in the morning because he's had the elites last weekend at Lake Hartwell, and he's got the Fishers of Men this week at Lake Hartwell this weekend. So he has been a busy guy, and I think when he gets done this afternoon, he may sleep through until Monday morning. But yeah, some of it's self-imposed, and I'll take responsibility for that part, and you know, we'll go from there. But yeah, did get out on Lake Hartwell. I'll talk about that a bit. Greer Lions Club, you know, the Centennial Lions Club of Greer put on a fishing tournament on Lake Robinson the other week. I guess it was last Saturday. Gosh, is it just last Saturday? Yes, it was just last Saturday. Allison Rauch, the event liaison, was on the show, talked about it, and they I got the results here. Go to a different phone here. Let's see. Over $10,000 was raised as part of the second annual Greer Centennial Lions Club Bass Fishing Tournament Saturday afternoon. The money from the tournament goes to a vision voucher program used to help students without insurance get eye exams and glasses. Pretty cool thing, but great cause. If you don't know about this tournament, it's held at Lake Robinson. I believe it's 18 feet and under as far as length of boat, 10 horsepower and under. But congratulations to Brady Thornton and Brent Thornton. They won first place in the tournament with a total haul of 18 pounds, 6 ounces. Took home $1,000. $1,000 also awarded for biggest fish to Logan Young and Ricky Hall for their 4.43-pound fish. So next year, about this same time, you need to plan on doing this. We lost a caller, but I okay. Go ahead, Donnie from Gaffney. Is that, did I get that right, Donnie?
Yeah, that's right. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you, sir?
Pretty good. The comment I wanted to make was concerning an individual you had on last week. I didn't have a chance to get to speak with him, but he was talking about the numbers in the turkey population being on the decline.
Yes, sir.
And he was also saying that he got his numbers from the lower part of the state.
Right.
Or that's where they do their count.
That was where the study was done.
Yeah, I live in the upstate of South Carolina in Cherokee County. I'm just a few miles from the state line.
Sure.
And I disagree totally with his count. Here where I am, I've seen a total increase in the number of turkeys over the last 10 years. And I remember decades ago when we had a fall hunt and a spring hunt.
Right.
And a lot of the hunters here really do miss that fall hunt. I mean, it gave us an opportunity to put a turkey on the table, you know, for Thanksgiving and
sure.
for Christmas.
Sure.
And to be honest with you, I think that study needs to be done on a statewide basis instead of just an isolated area down at the lower part of the state, because where I'm at, I'm fortunate. I have an opportunity to hunt about almost 1,000 acres.
Okay.
And the turkey population where I am, I'm telling you, is thick enough I could hunt turkey with a hammer. And I'm not kidding.
I'm not going to give your phone number out because you're going to have a lot of people banging down your door.
Well, a lot of people do bang my door down, you know, this time of year. And sure, you know, I let a lot of my friends and a lot of their friends hunt the property.
Sure.
And it doesn't even put a dent in it.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what I just wanted to make that comment.
Yeah.
I really do think that the numbers are a little skewed in the opposite direction.
Well, hang on. Stay on the line with me because I want to explore this a little bit.
Okay.
What's the habitat like where you're hunting? Is it and I'll go back to the study. What's your habitat like? 1,000 acres, is it hardwood, pines, open fields? What is it?
It's both. It's all three, actually. There's pasture land, farmland that runs right through the middle of it. I'm close to the Broad River. As a matter of fact, I'm on top of the Broad River, really. It's only probably 2-3 miles from the area that I hunt. And in Cherokee County, overall, I mean, you can drive through the countryside anywhere here, and if there's any open fields,
you're gonna see
99
birds.
Times out of 100, you're going to see birds. And, I mean, it's not just seasonal. I was listening to the individual you had on last week make the, you know, statements about how they go by recording the calls and the number of calls and,
yes,
and the time of year. And I agree with that. You know, the rut or the strut, as I call it, you know, it does take place a little later here.
It does.
Than the season allows for. But year round, seriously, year round, spring, summer, winter, fall, I could harvest birds there if it were legal, and it wouldn't make a dent in it.
Do you have?
I don't really think it would put a dent in it.
Do you have hogs?
Scarcely.
Okay.
Hogs have been a problem. Well, I'm not going to say a problem, but hogs have been steadily moving into the area. We've got sections of land that are being cleared off now in Cherokee County where hogs are being run out from places that people didn't even know that they were there. They didn't think they existed. We do have some hogs, but not as much as we have coyotes. Now, we've got coyotes out the yazoo.
Right, yeah, they're everywhere.
And I understand that can, you know, affect the numbers, especially in the hatch. But to tell you the truth, I haven't seen it put a dent in the turkey population here in Cherokee County. We're abundantly blessed with them.
You know,
and most of them are big birds too. I mean, there's some big birds here.
It is South Carolina is so diverse from the mountains, Midlands, coast. It's a hard state to manage under one umbrella. And the gentleman that I had on was Dr. Charles Ruth. Charles Ruth. He is the deer and turkey biology guy for Department of Natural Resources. The program, the study you're talking about, is a 3-year study that the South Carolina legislature ordered DNR to do. They did it in conjunction with LSU University. The Savannah River site was the control area because there's really no hunting. And, well, there is one turkey hunt because I was at it last weekend. And then the areas, the hunted areas were Webb Center and Palachicola. And currently the writing store. And they kind of, just to give you a reason why it was done down there, one reason was money. They can't afford to spread out studies in all counties of South Carolina or, you know, 4 regions of South Carolina. Money's a limitation. I mean, they spent $600,000 on this one. It was federal funds, but still they had to spend the money. And they did it that far south so they could get the earliest turkey activity in the state, because you're exactly right. Things happen down in that lower part of the state before they happen up here simply because of latitude or longitude.
Oh, well,
I just messed that one up. Anyway, the further you go up the globe, is they thought they would get the best results starting at the warmest place. But it is tough. I mean, you talk to guys in the Francis Marion who hunt Francis Marion National Forest. I got a bunch of friends down in the low country. They hunt Francis Marion National Forest. In places where there were turkeys, there are no turkeys now. Pigs have taken over, and they're saying that pigs are more of a have more of an impact on the turkeys than the coyotes ever thought about having.
Yeah.
And, well, you know, I grew up hunting in Chester County, and we've never had turkeys. I mean, to see a turkey where I hunt in Chester County, I just don't have them. I'll have a few pass through during deer season. I had five gobblers walk past me last year, but I don't have a turkey around me now. Now that turkey season's here, it is so. Now let me ask you this: on the 1,000 acres, do y'all plant? I mean, do you plant chufa? It's just natural habitat.
It's just natural habitat, with the exception of the fields that. But there is one field that's on separate properties.
Just row cropped or something.
Yes, it's either soybean. Some of it is nothing but feed hay.
Yeah.
It just depends on whatever the farmers want to plant. But there's really no baited fields or no food plots set out at all. There have been some. We've set out some clover and some peas, sure. for the deer.
Right.
But not really. And I guess there's a few feeder boxes here and there. But nothing, on the scale that would keep the population of birds that I have privy to, at the level that it is.
Yeah.
There's also some game land, some management land up and around the lake area that we have here that's controlled by the Board of Public Works.
Okay.
And people hunt that and still harvesting birds pretty during season. And that's the only baited field in the area that I know of, and it's GMA managed. But I've just missed the fall hunt, to tell you the truth, for so long. Because I remember back in the day, I think deer season actually went out for like a week or so, and you could hunt turkey.
I almost want to say you're right.
And that's been so long ago. That's back when I was, a kid, more or less.
You and me both,
yeah. And I have just missed that time of year to hunt turkeys. And the spring affords you, we have a good season. We have a long enough season.
Yeah.
I do think that the season should start maybe a week or two later and run a week or two longer here.
Which is about where it's going to land. I think by the time the House and the Senate get together on that thing, I think it's going to start a little bit. Well, actually, no. I think they're going the other way. I think they're going to start it before April 1st and run it into May. I think that's where the compromise is right now, I believe.
Yeah, well, either way, I can harvest birds. I just wanted to throw it in there. I really think you ought to give us at least a week during the fall and let us bag a few birds up here. I'm surprised you don't have any birds in Chester. I've done a lot of whitetail hunting there in the past, but. Never any turkey.
It's just a matter of habitat. We've got good habitat. I mean, lots of hardwoods, some planted pine trees, open fields, which are really just fallow. I mean, from time to time, well, for years we had a dove field, but you had open pasture lands. And from time to time, you would see a hen come through, and you might see but far and wide, I've never been consistently able to go there and hunt turkeys. And it's just odd, and that is spread out throughout the state of South Carolina. That's the problem, and I think everybody's got their little world. Your world is there where you hunt. Mine is in Chester. Yeah. I got friends that hunt in Princess Marion. Other people that hunt over towards Lancaster, Chesterfield. Everybody's got their core area where they draw the conclusions about the turkey population. That's why there's such, and you would not believe some of the conversations that are going on about why the turkey is, why can't we have a statewide study? They're fine in my area. They're disappearing in my area. What's the cause? Is it fire ants? Is it, trapping? Here's another thing. A lot of your animals that are normally trapped, your coons, possums, your ground nesting predators, they're not being trapped anymore. Uh-huh. I mean, I saw more raccoons this past deer season than I ever have before in my life.
Yes.
So,
I can agree with that.
So it's
I agree with that.
It's a tough thing. I will say this though. There's a CEFWA, the Southeastern anyway, there's 15 southeastern states, because this is not just a South Carolina. This study and the decline in birds that, you know, some of us are seeing, some of us are not seeing, it's southeastern wide. From Texas, Kansas has had one of the worst turkey seasons they've ever had before. All the way Tennessee, Kentucky, there's 15 states that are studying this problem. And across all those agencies, again, on a statewide, however they come up with those numbers, whether it's hunter harvest surveys or studies like the LSU survey, which are going on all over the place, they're seeing in total declines in the turkey population. They're trying to figure out why.
That's what I was going to ask you. Do you think that's because of an increase in the number of predatory animals, or
I don't know. Here's
or habitat, or
I think it's probably habitat. You figure when the turkeys were reintroduced, there are a lot of hardwood mass forests that have since been cut, replanted pine trees. You know, there's just not much inside a pine tree plantation to for anything to really get a benefit, except for people that bale pine needles. And so you just don't know. It's like the quail population. What happened to bobwhite quail? Cats. Okay, cats. They love to hunt and kill and all that. You know, I don't know. I don't think there's one answer that'll answer this question. I think it's just going to be, I don't know what it's going to be. But
I think I'm just fortunate.
You are very fortunate. I will tell you that.
I think I'm fortunate.
Yeah.
I've had turkey in my front yard. I've even got pictures of them on my cell phone. They're really not afraid of me. I have walked to my car and had my car parked in my driveway, and in my front yard, I have literally got down in the face of some big birds and snapped their pictures in my front yard. And maybe I'm just in a sweet spot.
Well, I'll tell you this. Where I live here in the upstate, in Greer, behind my house used to be a lot of land. And every spring, I would have one hen, every spring she'd come up, and I got bird feeders in the backyard. And she would get up to within about 8 feet of my back door to eat that bird seed. And we'd play hide and seek through the window and all that. Well, that's all housing development now. So one big thing that all of us are going to deal with, and where we fall in with the natural resources is an important thing, is loss of habitat.
Yeah.
So who knows, Donnie? But, hey, great call. Thank you very much. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
And stay tuned. We'll cover some more turkeys later on this year, Donnie. Thanks.
All right. Have a good day.
Yes, sir. Y'all hang on through the break. All right. A little short segment when we come back.
Like the kids that used to die, we all
die. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Donnie, that was a great call. Thank you, sir. If you want... And this is for anybody out there listening to interested in turkey hunting or habitat conservation. There, if you're on Facebook, and I know Facebook is a bad name sometimes, but if you're on Facebook, there's a group called Carolina Wildlife Syndicate. It's worth taking a look at if you're interested, because right now turkeys is conversation number one there. And they've got some ex-biologists and habitat managers that are really active with a lot of statistics. They will kill you with statistics. And it could be something for you to look at to try to get other people's opinion about what's going on and interject your own. I mean, it's an open forum. You can, if you join in and you just have to be able to take it as much as you give it, I guess. Money is a big thing when we talk about studies, hard for the Department of Natural Resources with the budget the legislature gives them to do studies statewide. Habitat loss. Huge for everything. I mean, turkeys are, like Charles said in that interview that Charles and I did, he said, I would not, the worst thing in this world in March and April to be is a hen turkey. Because once she starts sitting on that nest to incubate those eggs, she's there for the duration. She doesn't leave. And that's where your ground predators come in, your pigs, coyotes, and, you know. But you get... I guess we have to always defer to the natural resource. You know, in nature, everything's going to reach a happy medium. You know, and in Donnie's case, he's got great habitat, great birds. Other places to state, sorry habitat, no birds. We're going to have to meet somewhere in the middle. And whether that's, you know, we're down to three bird limits, whether that goes to a two bird or a one Jake two bird or, you know, a slightly lopsided season where you can only shoot one bird before a certain date, which is one of the things being considered in the legislature right now, is one bird before April 1st or something, depending on what part of the state you're in. And they're talking about splitting it into low country and up country. So two zones for turkey season coming up. And you're going to have to defer to the natural resource. What's in the best interest of the natural resource? Donnie's got great habitat. He may have to give a little bit on numbers or time or so, because you got to have those population centers to spread out. It's like when they reintroduced them. You know, they spread to good habitat, skip bad habitat, but you got to have those centers where those birds can reproduce in the good habitat and try to filter out into the lesser habitat, if you want to say that. So it's a tough one. And turkey hunters are a passionate bunch. There are some great arguments on all sides. It's hard to know, but great call, Donnie. I appreciate it. Those are the ones you really want. Those are good calls and good conversation. And I believe for, you know, $500, if you want to pay me $500, I'll give you Donnie's phone number. Donnie's out there changing his phone number. All right, hang on through the break. Got some other stuff. If you want to call in, 877-235-9405, you're welcome to it. We'll talk about whatever you want to talk about today. Back with more Woods and Water South Carolina on the other side. Welcome back to Woods and Water South Carolina. Get some texts. Great call on turkey. This is my doctor buddy down in Charleston. Great call on turkeys. Now get down here and show me how to use this fly rod. I'm coming, Henry. Y'all want a funny story on Henry? Since he's listening, I'll have to tell a story on him. You ready for this? Henry and I met on the internet. Tell that one to your wife. CharlestonFishing.com. Back when I first bought my flats boat, we had a message board. I guess you call it a message board now. CharlestonFishing.com, and it was all about saltwater fishing. And I joined it, being a relatively newcomer to the South Carolina saltwater fishery. And one of the first things I learned is don't be the guy on the ramp that can't back the boat down and get it in the water in a couple minutes by yourself. So I practiced that a lot before I ever went to Charleston for first fishing trip. But anyway, we had in fact, the gentleman that started this, the put up and shut up, he passed away a few months ago and lost a good friend there. He was a great guy. His handle was Wando Grill, Mark Hubbard. And but anyway, Mark started this thing called the put up or shut up. And it was for all the keyboard heroes, you know, the guys who sat behind their keyboards. I can outfish you and you don't know what you're doing and all that. So hey, put up or shut up. Let's have a fishing tournament. We put, I think, $10 at the time in a hat. And it was a redfish, trout, and the longest redfish, trout, and flounder brought to the scales that hadn't been stepped on. Stepping on fish to lengthen them was illegal. That, other than the regular DNR rules, that was the only rule we had. And I wanted to fish it. It was a team event, two guys on a boat, and this guy named Captain Sandbar found out how he got that name afterwards, because he got hung up on a sandbar in his boat. And if you look, it sounds bad, but if you ever saltwater fished, you'll hang up on a sandbar every once in a while. It's inevitable. If you haven't, you just haven't been doing it long enough. About like falling off a polling platform. If you haven't fallen off a polling platform, you're either lying or you haven't been up there long enough. I've been up there long enough to fall off. But anyway, so we met on the internet, and I drove to Charleston. Never seen Henry before in my life. Got on the boat, picked him up the ramp, and you knew it was going to be a good day when we started reciting Blazing Saddles together. Word for word, we knew we were made a match made in heaven for fishermen right there. So, yeah, Henry, I'll get down there sooner or later. I know you've got about as much time as I do to go fishing, so you can rag me all you want to, but you don't have much time to go either, my buddy. But we'll see you soon. But, yeah, I did that at his, when he got married, I did it at his at the best man speech. I said, you know when you tell your wife you've met a guy on the Internet? And there's like 20 or 25 people there who all fish those first put up or shut up tournaments. And they're all just hee-hawing. The back part of that room was just in chaos. Good times, good memories. That's what it's all about. As good friends, outside, spending time together. That's what makes it. Well, news, Casey Ashley missed the top 10 on the MLF side by 2 pounds, 6 ounces. Finished in 12th place, so he will not be fishing tomorrow. Everybody else has already gone home. Bass Track on the Elite side. Yeah, Jason Williamson's in 6th. Jason's from South Carolina. Patrick's 14th. Less than 2 pounds out. So fish are not as big down in Winya Bay as they were on Hartwell, where congratulations to Brandon Cobb. Wire-to-wire win. What a good one. That was a great weekend. You people that were down there and or watched Bass Live and were at the weigh-ins and all that was just a great event. Wow. Brandon will be on the show with us soon. He's busy. He's fishing this weekend down in, of course, he didn't fish today. Or did he fish today? I'm horrible at this sometimes. No, he finished like 40. Where is he? Ooh, I don't think he finished that low. 61st. Uh-oh. That's okay. You win, you got to fall in somewhere the next week. Let's see. You want a fishing report? Here's a fishing report. Find you a clay bank shallow bar on any of the South Carolina herring lakes right now and throw a topwater plug. If you don't get it on that, throw a Sebile. If you don't get on that, throw a Fluke. Fish are everywhere. When I was at the Elite last weekend, my media boat driver was Bob Rutherford, otherwise known as Brad's dad. Brad Rutherford, one of the marketing managers down at Pure Fishing in Columbia. It's his dad. And he was my media boat driver. He said, you want to go fishing sometime? I said, sure. Call me middle of the week. Said, hey, let's go fishing Saturday. So there's one of those self-imposed, you know, self-inflicted things that I talked about earlier. Got up this morning and rode down to Hartwell, got out on the water with him for a few hours. We caught a bunch of fish, small fish, but the herring bites going on, fish everywhere. It's funny, we were commenting that all the sight fishermen have left the bank. They are all out fishing these herring fish, and they're wide open. We caught spots and largemouth today, and like I said, it's chatterbaits, white chatterbait with any kind of white trailer. Early, I think as the sun gets up, that bite dies away a little bit. But your stick baits, walk the dogs, flukes, great bait. I hadn't fished a fluke in a while. I fished a fluke this morning and they were small, but they were fun. And, it's always good going back to your roots. We actually later on the day, we got off the main lake and back in some pockets and he was throwing a methylate trickworm. I'm like, goodness gracious alive, old school. And it still works because the biggest fish came on a methylate trickworm. He showed me up on that one. Gosh. All right, let's, few minutes here. Let's talk a few things you can do outside for the calendar of events. So, which is brought to you by Visit Anderson Green Pond Landing Event Center. Fishing rodeos. We talked to Sarah Chabane about these a few weeks ago. They are starting to roll up April the 27th in Camden, South Carolina. Registration. Remember, registration is online for these. They want you to register. So you go to the Department of Natural Resources webpage, look on education, aquatic education, and you'll see the link for fishing rodeos. So April 27th in Camden, April 27th, Jasper County, the Blue Heron Youth Fishing Rodeo, April 27th, Charlestown Landing in Charleston County. Also April 27th, the the kind of gimme in all this, the Cohen Campbell Fish Hatchery. What a better place to go fishing and catch fish, kids that is, than to go to a fish hatchery. That's in Lexington County, April 27th. That's in the morning. Then they're having another one right after at the same site. And then the Ponds Fishing Rodeo in Dorchester County, those are all on April 27th. So go to the Department of Natural Resources, look on their webs, on their aquatic education, and find you a place to go fishing. What are we? Oh my, I don't need to do those yet. That's still off there a little bit. Okay. Women. Women in the outdoors. Growing, Mark. Growing part of the outdoors. Are you women? I'm surrounded by them at home. And they enjoy the outdoors. Not as much as I do, probably, because I enjoy it to the point of, you know, being out in the hammock when it's 30 degrees and that sort of thing. So there are degrees to enjoying the outdoors. But women, ladies, if you're looking for a way to get involved in the outdoors, to learn, okay, you don't know where to start, and your husband doesn't want to teach you because that's a surefire way to have a knockdown, drag-out argument. Pimento Conservation Foundation, they just announced the other day they are hosting a Women's Outdoor Adventure Weekend in November 2019. The weekend will feature keynote speaker Jennifer Parr Davis, a long-distance hiker, author, speaker, National Geographic Adventurer of the Year, and ambassador for the American Hiking Society. So from boots to bikes, an array of workshops will focus on all things necessary for day trips, weekend jaunts, longer treks on the trails, instructions on, get out of the way, on yoga, yoga, mountain biking, backpacking, stretch therapy, outdoor cooking, meditation, and exercise will be on the agenda to prepare for all outdoor adventures. We want to see more women of all ages, abilities, and experience gain confidence to enjoy the great outdoors on trails and in parks. Stay tuned for more details. Again, that's the Palmetto Conservation Foundation. You know, Mary Rowe, PCF, she's on the show here. And that's coming November 19th. Also for you ladies, this one's a little more in-depth, I think. That is the South Carolina Wildlife Federation Women's Outdoor Retreat 2019. It is Friday through Sunday, September the 27th through the 29th at Hickory Knob State Park in McCormick, South Carolina. The Outdoor Retreat is a weekend event designed for women to experience nature and outdoor recreation with like-minded ladies in a non-competitive environment. Nature walks, kayaking, fishing, outdoor cooking, and archery are just a few of the nearly 30 classes from which to choose. The retreat is presented by the South Carolina Wildlife Federation and sponsored by Cabela's and Hickory Knob Resort State Park. Hickory Knob State Resort Park. That doesn't sound right. Hickory Knob State Park Resort. Yeah, that's better. We're pleased. It's wrong here what I'm reading. It's not me making a mistake. It's them. We're pleased to have the support of several outfitters and organizations, including the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources. La, 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 la. Hickory, age guidelines open to females age 16 and older. Girls 16 to 18 must be accompanied by a responsible adult. And it goes on. The cost is $100 per person. Whew. That does not include meals and lodging. Meals are available there. Lodging's available or there close by. I'm gonna go through have the list. Yeah, they got the list of classes. All right, we're gonna go to break. I'm gonna come back and I'm gonna read you off the list of classes you have to choose from at this one for you ladies. So, hang on through the break. Back with more Woods and Water, South Carolina on the other side. I'm not singing. Can't believe I did that. I know everybody just turned their radios off. I can't blame you. Okay, let me go through some of these classes that you're going to see. So this is, ladies, this is the South Carolina Wildlife Federation. And you can find this at scwf.org under events. It's kind of scroll down to the bottom of the events page, and it's down there. Okay, archery. All skill levels. And the nice thing about this is it's both of these. This is non-competitive. This is other ladies that want to learn the same things you do. You help each other. You have fun learning. You probably make some friendships. And who knows, you might make some outings together. It's just the possibilities are endless. All right, archery, backpacking. Michael Silverman from the local hiker in Spartanburg, we talk about backpacking. I got to get him back on and go over some more stuff But it takes you through the essentials for any trip, for everything you need, including solar charging stuff. Backyard wildlife habitat. This is one of the most fun ones, I think, would be. Learn how to provide water, food, cover, and places to raid young wildlife to supply natural habitat for a variety of birds, butterflies, and other wildlife. That's anybody can do that in their backyard. Birding, which you can't do without a good pair of binoculars. Canoeing, essential oils, fish cleaning and cooking. That's one. Once you get over the slime a little bit and get through the cooking part and eating part, you can handle it. Freshwater fishing, geocaching, that would be fun to try. Health and nature. I don't know how to say that. Hypertufa planters? Okay, whatever that is. Kayak and intro, knot tying, Lake Thurman paddle, map and compass reading, nature crafts, nature spa, outdoor cooking, paddle boarding, saltwater fishing, skeet shooting and firearm safety, South Carolina road trips. That's one, too. Walk on the wild side, wilderness first aid, yoga, and that is just some of the things. So scwf.org, under events, and that's for you ladies, because ladies are the largest segment, the largest growing segment of the outdoors, whether it's hunting, hiking, fishing, camping. Women are where it's at. They're motivated. And I've got two stories here. I'm not going to get to either one of them. I'll just have to. One by Forbes and one from the Outdoor Hub. The Forbes one is entitled, hate pop-up ads. Active outdoor sports may have a new group of customers, women. And this goes through all the activity. This is pretty much the hiking, camping, fishing, running, skiing, surfing, skateboarding, related sports segment of the outdoors. And then off the Outdoor Hub, young and female, the changing face of hunting in America. And one of the big things about hunting is women want to know where their food is coming from. Mothers want to know what their families are eating. It's a huge part of it. I'll get to those later, maybe. I've still got stuff from 2014 I haven't gotten to. Okay. And this is summertime fun right here, okay? How many of you went to summer camp as a kid? Go ahead and raise your hands. Keep one hand on the steering wheel. But, you know, summer camp. I mean, how many of you rolled a kayak, rolled a canoe over and hid underneath and scared your camp counselor to death? That was always fun. Summer camps, it's those memories you cherish for a lifetime, whether it's fellow cabin mates, counselors that were really cool, places where you went to camp, you know? And in South Carolina, we are fortunate to have some great summer camps. So this is for all you parents who are looking to ditch the kids for a week, leave them at summer camp, have a little mini vacation at home. No, that's the wrong way to look at it. You are educating these kids in the outdoors, and it is for their benefit, and you can take advantage of it while they're gone. Clemson YLI camps, Youth Learning Institute camps. Registration is open for all of them, and there are, get this, five of them, okay? Camp Seawee, Marine Science. It's held down at the coast. You think that? Yeah. Explore South Carolina's coast. Life's a beach, or at least summer camp can be. It's you'll have a blast at Camp Seawee. If your kids are the beach types, there you go. Camp Wildlife, which is shooting sports. In safety. Ride, shoot, swim. So it's not about shooting. You know, ATVs, fishing, more. Hunt, fish, shoot, and ride at Camp Wildlife. And all of these you can find through the hub at YLICamps.com. Okay? Adventure Wilderness. This is for those, little hike, paddle, and climb. Rappelling, zip lining. It's a mountaintop experience. We offer an opportunity to unplug from the normal things of life, iPads, Xbox, and restaurants. And spend a week experience the river, the lake, the mountain trails, and the rock. Camp Voyager, technology camp. There's nothing wrong with going to a technology camp because they get the techies and they get them outside a little bit. They incorporate both of it. And That's in Pickens, South Carolina. And the last one's traditional 4-H camp. You know? Go have fun. A classic summer camp experience. It's been a South Carolina tradition for over 50 years. Jam-packed week includes team sports, water sports, paintball, archery, nature hikes, a ropes course, a climbing tower, arts and crafts, a talent show, and more. Even a mini camp session for younger first-time campers. All of those are done through Clemson's Youth Learning Institute, YLICamp.com, and there's signs for whichever one you want, like the old, you know, Hollywood, 5,000 miles from World War II. It's those type of signs. And you can pick one. Camp Woody. Camp Woody's a great one. And if you've ever heard Ed Paul and I talk about Camp Woody here on this show, it's a great one. It runs summer long. I mean, they have weeks all summer long. And one of the coolest things I think about Camp Woody is the mud pit and the inner tube. Hey, you don't get any more muddier in South Carolina than in a red clay pit filled with water fighting over a black inner tube. And it just, you know, once you get so wet and dirty, you don't care anymore. That's when you really let go and have fun. So Camp Woody is another good one. Coastal Expeditions down in Charleston has camps all summer long. Young Naturalist Kayak Adventure Camp. For the last 25 years, Coastal Expeditions Kayak Camp has introduced local kids to the beauty of the low country. Paddling from three locations, we go to a different location every day, allowing us to look for fossils and shark's teeth on hidden beaches, swim in saltwater creeks, and search for dolphins and manatees. The Tidal Creek Camp. It's a tidal trek. Join Coastal Expedition's Tidal Trek program for a week of adventures as we explore the outdoors of the Lowcountry. Hiking, paddleboard, kayaking, just spending your days outside. These are 14 to 17, 9 to 14, 8 to 13. Here's one already full. The Maritime Paddle Camp is full. When I first started doing this show, Camp Wildwood, which is Dan Dupree's camp with the Department of Natural Resources, it was filling up March into April. He's filling up in January now. Now, I don't know whether it's due to him getting on here or just kids, parents discovering all this stuff is out there for kids to do. And there are other camps. Right here in Spartanburg, the local hiker, they're sponsoring some summer camps out at Set Goals, out at Glendale Outdoor Leadership School. There's all sorts of camps out there. And it does, you're just trying to get the kids out of the routine. Turn that cell phone in on Monday and you don't get it back until Friday. They learn you can live without it, and a lot of them come out and just go, eh. Mention Camp Wildwood. It's full for this year. It's a three-year program. There are three, year one, two, and three. The first-year program is the Heart and Soul of Camp Wildwood. Daily activities include instruction in fisheries, forestry, firearm safety, orienteering, first aid, soils, and wildlife. Hands-on classes. They got dances, campfires, skit nights. It's a great one. I've been up there to visit. It's a great one. The kids love it. Second year, it's a little more focused. Second year program was developed back in 1977 to further the Camp Wildwood experience. 20 campers from year one are invited back to attend a program based in the upstate of South Carolina. These are selected by counselors for the second year because the counselors believe they possess the leadership, maturity, and dedication, which if nurtured leads to the wise use of natural resources. So you're selected to be in year two. And you got year three. With 3 minutes to go, we have year three. Camp Wildwood third year program is much different than first and second. The second year campers from the previous year invited to take place in this coastal excursion. Program teaches the campers about the coastal ecosystem. Got another pop-up ad. While campers do hands-on activities such as fishing, exploring Botany Bay, touring the State Aquarium in Charleston, much more. And these are the ones that they think are going to be the future biologists, researchers for our natural resources. So it's just a few. Okay, YLI camps, Camp Woody, which is a South Carolina Waterfowl Association camp, Coastal Expeditions, and you know you'll have to set your calendars now, alarm for January of next year to watch out for Camp Wildwood to take off. Oof. And I came in here and didn't have anything. Oh, me. Hey, Patrick Walters on his rookie year on the Bassmaster Elite Series is leading the Angler of the Year points. Is that not cool? You knew, if you know Patrick, you knew it was just a matter of time. Just like if you knew Brandon Cobb, you knew it was just a matter of time. I mean, four Forest Wood Cups on the FLW side, four top tens. But he owned Lake Hartwell last weekend. He absolutely owned it. Followed him around the water on Saturday and Sunday for a bit. Got some pretty good pictures. We'll put up some photo galleries here when I have a few moments to settle down and get some of those pictures looked at. But we need to have a discussion here one of these weeks about which one do you think's better, MLF, Bass, or FLW? Ooh, that one will bring some fireworks. I know it will. Oh, me. Well, look, I appreciate everybody listening today. It was a great show. Get out and go fishing. I mean, look, boat doesn't matter. You can fish from anything. I mean, there were pontoon boats out there. There were John boats out there today, bass boats, center consoles. And if you don't like that, you can fish from the bank. Thanks for listening. Appreciate it. Be back here next Saturday with a show on Alaska. Don't want to miss that one. So, in the meantime, make time to get out there. Don't forget to take the back roads when you can and bring the camera. See you here next week with more Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Gone to Carolina.